Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for everything you have done for us. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for, Lord, the Holy Spirit. And thank you for your word. We ask you, Lord, that as we go to your word this morning, that you may quicken us, that we may open our hearts and our minds to receive it, Lord, to put it, Lord, to work in our lives and to see, Lord, the impact and the changes that you will produce. Because we know, Lord, that we'll not go back to you void. Where you send it is going to produce fruit. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We are going to continue on the manifestation of the kingdom of God. We've been looking at a number of things. And especially focusing on the understanding of what are the laws and the principles according to which the kingdom works. God's desire is to manifest his kingdom down here. This is, if you remember, Jesus' prayer, the Lord's prayer, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So the idea, his desire is for to implement down here the same thing that are already there. And there is no sickness there. There is no pain. There is no problem. There is no, wars and things like that. Although there are wars in heavenly places yet. But those are going to be finishing too. Amen?
Amen.
So we are going to get more into that and to see, we're looking now at the manifestation of the breakthroughs or the supernatural events that happen in our lives and how they operate, how we can accelerate them. Because sometimes, there is a period of time that takes before from the time we start wanting them to the when they appear. And that is that not God's will? No matter what anybody says. I never saw Jesus be there praying for something and had to be there for a week, a month, a year to get the answer. Hello? If we pray according to his will, according to his word, his will is now. And if it doesn't happen, there is a hindrance there that needs to be removed. And the sooner we remove the hindrance, the better it is. Because God doesn't care about time because he's out of time, but we are in time and times is important. It matters to us. All right? So, the idea is though that for us to be able to accelerate things, we have to understand the principle according to which the kingdom works. And we have to operate according to those principles. It's the same thing in the physical world as well as in the spiritual world. The two worlds are parallel. If something doesn't work or takes a long time down here, it's because there is something that is entering to make it happen. So we need to understand what are the things that produces this delay. Now, we were talking about last verses that we were talking about last week was in Romans chapter 4. And we saw about Abraham and how long it took him to achieve the results or to actually manifest God's promises in his life. Okay? And that was took him 25 years. Now, he did not have a Bible. He did not have, he was going just on the fact that God had told him that your children are going to be like the stars and numbered as the stars in the heaven and as the sand, the grain of the sand. But the point is, he had to get to the place in which he could receive and he could manifest that promise. And in chapter 4 of the book of Romans gives some insight of what took place and how it took place. So we can start from the beginning again, because from verse 19, that we already mentioned something last week, but we are going to continue further. So now, not being weak in faith, okay, if he was not weak in faith, that means he was strong in faith, okay? And he was strong in faith, and we can see that his faith changed and grew with time. This is what was going on, what was happening with him. And he, you know, we can see many things that he did that demonstrated that he didn't have much faith concerning those things. But through the experiences he had and through the intervention that God always was there to help him, his faith grew and his trust in God increased. So his faith was getting strong. And he did not consider his own body already dead, because since he was about 100 years old. You see, the point is here to the fact that we can look at that and say, okay, he didn't consider, so what we had to do is not consider the situation. And this is not accurate. You see, we had to understand the word consider there, which is different from deny the situation. He did not deny the situation that was there. He did not ignore the situation that was there. He did not consider. That means he did not spend time thinking about the problem. He was thinking about the solution. But he was aware of the problem, because if you are not aware of the problem, you could do something else. You see, you need, the problem helps you to keep focused on the things that you had to do to overcome. If you ignore it, if you deny it, then you go and do other things. You say, well, I have no problem. No, you have got the problem if you have to resolve, if you need to receive something. Are you hearing me? See, the idea is that we need to realize when there is a problem, that the problem is there and is real. And if we let it go, it's going to go according to the normal process of nature. And sometimes that's not very good. What we had to do is to do the things that are required to change the course of nature. And this is what our faith produces. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, the idea is our faith changes our circumstances. Can you say that? Our faith changes our circumstances. But has to be strong and has to be active, because, you know, it's not just a question of just wanting to believe. It's a question of actually believing from the level of our heart that that is what is going to happen, because the Word of God says that. It's not that we go according to our just wishes. We go according to what God said. You know, in that case, no need to come to us and talk in a personal way like he did with Abraham, that he didn't have anything else to base himself. We have a Bible that is full of promises. We can go to the promises and see what they say and base ourselves. That if God said that this is promised into us, no, he's a good father, a father that we can trust. And if we can trust him, you know, he's going to fulfill what he said he would. And so that enables us to base our faith, our beliefs, on something that is solid, that is a promise of God, and he cannot lie. Amen. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
All right. So let me continue here. So in the deadness of Sarah's womb, see, he didn't consider them, but he was based, focusing on God's promises. He did not waver at the promise of God, and that's what it says just after, you know, through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, How was he strengthened in faith? Giving glory to God. You see, when you start praising God before you get the answer, then you give glory to God and your faith is going to be strengthened, because that action that you do and what you speak through your mouth is confirmed, reinforces the faith that you have and reinforces your belief, and your faith is going to go up as you focus on that. If you keep worshiping and praising the Lord for the promises he made and trusting that he is faithful and he's going, you know, what does it mean that God is faithful? It means that he keeps his promises. Yes. And there are so many places in the Bible in which says that God is faithful. Either he's faithful or he's not faithful. And if he doesn't keep his promises, then he's not faithful. But he's faithful. Can you say that God is faithful? Amen. So we have to start in that place of his faithfulness to be able to stand on that truth to see it manifested. Amen. It works. Anything that we receive from God is how? How do we receive things from God? That's weak. How do we receive things from God? That sounds a bit better. Sounds like you believe it. Amen. Amen. All right. Giving glory to God. And being fully convinced. Some other translation says fully persuaded. You see, this is what, when faith is effective, when faith is strong, when you are fully convinced or fully persuaded. When doubts floats within your mind, is going to be not very strong faith, and so it's not going to produce the results. Hallelujah. Or ouch, maybe. All right. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. You know, but God is not just able to perform, he is willing to perform because he promised it. Otherwise, he would not have promised. See, this is the thing that we can stand on, promises of God, because shows God's will, shows God's intention, and shows what God is going to do. But we had to agree with him. And therefore, it was accounted to him as righteousness. That means, you know, we made him, that what we was doing was made him in right standing with God. That means he could go before God and was accepted by God. Hallelujah. Now it was written. You see, that was about him. But it's more. It was written for a purpose. That's why it was written in the Bible. It was written for it was not written for his sake alone, but it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. So you see, this is the thing that took Abraham 25 years doesn't need to take 25 years to us to receive things from God. You know, when our faith is developed, we should be able to get them quickly. And if we don't get them quickly, we know what to do because the Bible says what we had to do. And when we start acting on what the instruction from the Bible says, then we are going to get things moving faster. See, what we had to do is to accelerate the manifestation. Who wants to accelerate the manifestation? I mean, who wouldn't? All right? So the thing is, but there is something that we do to make that happen. If we just do nothing, nothing happens. God always expects us to be co-workers with him. We do our side and he does his side. And when we do our side, we see that the results are starting to move and happening. Praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Okay. So, now we have to realize ourselves that when we need something from God, You know, we had to realize where we are in our heart. Are we there? Or are we moving there? Or are we moving backward? Are we fully persuaded in ourselves or not? This is the thing that we should be able to determine by the things that are going on in our head and in our heart. See, things can come to you in our head, that in your head, but doesn't mean necessarily they are in your heart. When they come, if you reject them, they don't stay there. So thoughts can come and go, but you have to see how you respond to those thoughts, how you do. And faith is like a muscle. As you exercise it, it becomes stronger. And so, essentially, what we should do is always exercise. We should always have a faith project working for us. We need to have a faith working A faith project working for us so that we keep our faith in good shape. Amen? All right. Now, Hebrews 11:1 says, the faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. This is such an important verse because it shows us something that often is not focused on. And the fact that it says here the faith is the substance of things hoped for. You see, the hope is important for faith to give substance to it. Often people say, well, you know, boy, hope is believing for something, you know, this, but doesn't receive. Well, if you have no hope, you are no faith. There has to be hope before having faith there. And when you have hope, you know, all the implications of that are going to be right there. You see, hope is not the way the world, Christian hope is not the way the world has hope. Our Christian hope is, you could be called, you know, if you look at the Greek, the word there is really a confident expectation. So really there is an expectation in you for something to happen. Okay, you are not just there saying, oh, sometime. No, you expect anytime, any place, you know, just you are there on the edge saying, is it? You see, you are going to catch the moment. See, there is a time for God, and this is going sidewise here. You know, it's called Kairos. It really is the time of the manifestation. It's a special time. It's the time it. This is it. You know, and we can be, you see, modern English, we could call it the opportunity. It's the time of opportunity, the window of time. See, if we are distracted, the window of time can come by, and we miss it because we are thinking about something else. We are not focused on the things that we should be focused on. We had to be, this is why we had to be focused on what has to happen. And we have to expect any time so that when we see the situation, the environment, that something is moving in that direction, we are ready to jump in. You know, it's the same thing when, for example, I get the word of knowledge, you know, about somebody has a problem in that area. That means God wants to do a miracle right there, an instant thing happening. But, you know, if you go there and say, oh, I don't know, maybe, and you lost the window of opportunity. What you had to do is jump in with, you know, quick to get it. Is mine, and you say, is mine, and you possess it. You know, receiving from God, the word receiving is doesn't reflect the thing. In Greek, it's lambano, which means to t- take. God expects us to take what he gives us. Amen?
Amen.
Are you ready to take?
Amen.
I mean, you know, we should come to church in hope or in expectation that the things that we need, he is going to provide there, right then, right now. Okay, so we should always be in confident expectation, not just expectation, confident expectation. Yes, it's mine, and I'm going to take it. Hallelujah. So when when you go home to church or other time, you know, you had to check out yourself, your heart, says, am I in confident expectation this morning? See, because that set you up to receive. You know, if you are distracted, you are not in confident expectation, you are looking after other things. Are you following me? All right. So let me go back now. A few verses, actually, from before where we read Romans 4, 19. It gets to go to Romans 4, 18. And I'm going to use William's New Testament translation because it's rendered in a way that is easier to understand. It says, Abraham, building on hope in spite of hopeless circumstances. See, there were hopeless circumstances in the physical, but he was building up on hope. I mean, he was increasing his confident expectation as time was going by believing and by praising God. Now, we have other ways, too, that he didn't have. And I'm going to share that with you if you have we have the time. I mean, we have a shortcut. You like to know a shortcut? Stick around a bit. All right. So, Abraham, building on hope in spite of hopeless circumstances, had faith, and so he actually became the father of many nations, just as he had been told him. So numberless shall be your descendants. So you see, this is what the way that he just built up on his hope, and he grew into his faith to the place where he could receive it. Okay, this is important. We had to try to work out things as quickly as we can. We shouldn't leave things there. Because Proverbs 13:12 says something is very important that we have to remember. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. So you see, a tree of life, I mean, just changes everything when we start receiving. Okay, and the more we receive, and the stronger life and faith and everything in it is going to be in us. Because we can believe for more. See, Jesus rebuked his disciple not for anything else, but because of only one thing, you have little faith. Why? Because this is the way God works. He works through our faith. All right. So, we had to build up our hope, our expectation, and keep it there going all the time so that it's confident and strong. How do you do that? Well, it's very easy. Number one, you protect your heart from other influences or ideas or thoughts that come there or things are exposed to that are going to reduce your faith because are going to focus you on not receiving from God. See, Proverbs 4 says, you know, very clearly there, protect your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. So this is where we had to remember that we saw those already. So you don't consider the problem, but you consider, but you don't deny, but you just diligently seek and focus on God's promises and the answer that is coming. Okay. When there is a prompting or a direction coming from the Holy Spirit from inside you, then you respond to that and you obey it. You follow up. He says, you know, for example, a word of knowledge, boom, you just go. Okay? The Holy Spirit speaking to you. Okay, the other thing you do is what we see all the scripture Proverbs 4:23 and so on, in you know Psalm 1:1 and so on. You know, you just meditate on the word, meditate on God's promises. As you meditate on God's promises, they become a reality to you. First, you are becoming really convinced, and then they're going to start manifesting. But there is a shortcut that Abraham did not know. And actually, he could not have. But we have it. You want to know what that is? Praying in tongues. I mean, if you read Jude, you know, says very clearly, building up your faith by praying in the Spirit. So, I mean, that's the easiest thing to do. I mean, when you had to meditate, you had to think, you had to do, but when you pray in tongues, you can just go around doing things and just the words come from you and minister to your faith and builds up your faith. You know what builds up means? You know, it's like your battery of the car or your car. You know, if you leave it there without nothing, you know, the battery goes down. But if you charge it, the battery gets charged up and get ready to work. Well, when you speak in tongues, you get charged up. Amen? I mean, that's pretty simple, isn't it? That's pretty good. I mean, you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but the point is, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you know what to do. And that, you see, the thing is, what happens there is that is the accelerator. That accelerates the production, the outcome, the manifestation. It shortens down the time. You know, when you realize that, you understand why Paul said, you know, I pray in tongues more than you all to the Corinthians. Okay, why? Because he knew the results that come about when you do that. Okay, I mean, the moment your mind may not fully perceive him, but the thing is, you see after the impact of, you know, what happens to your life. Okay, now, then there is another thing you can do to bring about the manifestation. It is confessing the word. Okay, the confession of the word brings about, and this is really how we take everything that comes from God. I mean, this is part of, you know, the way we get our salvation. Okay, in Romans chapter 8, very clearly, you know, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Evidently, if you need healing, you are not going to pray about, you know, finances, you know, promise about finances. You pray about the healing scriptures, all right? You're going to confess the healing scripture. You know, the word, if Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 says, you know, by stripes you were healed, then you are healed or whatever, depending, you know, then you're going to confess that scripture because apply to your situation. See, the confession is what releases the power of God to operate. And here is, you know, that's what says in Romans, you know, the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith. I mean, the words you believe, you know, which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus or whatever you confess, you know, the word of God, and believe in your heart what it says, in that case that God raised from the dead, you will be saved. In that case, it's for salvation, but you apply the same principle. This is a law. This is a spiritual law in operation, working in our spirit and working in the spirit world. So the things we know exactly the type of steps we can take to accelerate and to finally manifest God's promises. Okay, it doesn't matter what they are. If you have the promise there, then you know that God is faithful and he's going to fulfill it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. So you see that when you believe what God said, you believe what, you know, so that you have access to the Father. And that is the legal position that you acquire. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, which is really the salvation is deliverance, health, you know, soteria in Greek, which actually is receiving the manifestation of what you are believing for. Hallelujah. So really, you know, every spiritual event involves always two things. One is believing a spiritual truth, a word of God. In that case, there is a reference point there. The other one is actually acting or confessing or saying what that truth is. So that we agree with and take possession of that from our standpoint. We believe it and we take it. Lambano. All right. See, Proverbs chapter, let me see what time, okay. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it shall eat the fruit of it. See, the thing is, you have to see the word that you say. Are they words of life, or are they words that bring death? Are you agreeing with defeat, or are you agreeing with victory? See, but those things have to come out of you, not just because you are not a parrot. You know, a parrot that confesses scripture is not going to receive anything. What? Because he doesn't know what he's saying. You see, there is not a spiritual component in it. See, what happens to you is that your spirit is actually in agreement with what you are saying. Your heart is in agreement with what you are saying. And both of them are there. And so they can be a spiritual event. Otherwise, if there is no spirit involved and your heart is not involved as well, there is no spiritual thing is going to happen. We are spirit beings. We have a mind or a heart, and we have also a body. But they're all connected. And because we can do spiritual things, because we are spirit beings, because we have been created the way God is created. And so the things that God can do, in a way we can do because he made us in such a way that we can achieve those results in the same way, by faith. The way he works. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, you see, you are in a bad spot now. Because you know how to do it. And you don't complain if you don't get it because you had to do something. All right? Are you following me? You know, we have a responsibility. When God gives us something, we have the responsibility to use it. Okay? Can't go around complain, why didn't you do it? Well, he said, what about you? Are you following me? Okay? This stuff works. Okay? But it needs to be worked. See, we are workers together with him. Okay, so we work with him the things that need to be worked. And he, you know, according to his direction, according to his prescription. Okay, and he knows sometimes much better than we do what that needs to be done. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Good. So, your word affects your heart, and your heart affects your words. So we have to learn to use our words in the right way. We don't have much time left here. See, our word determines our successes and our failures, because they reflect what is going on in our heart. This is something the new believer should be taught right away, because they don't know it. They have not been taught those things. And so, you know, new believers need to make progress very quickly. The more quickly they progress, and the more stable and strong they're going to be, and the more they're going to keep going that way. So if they learned right away that instead of being there struggling to live a victorious Christian life, they can, you know, have victory from the beginning and progress quickly, then they're going to have a much better life. Hallelujah. So there should be some training. How we speak makes the difference. You know, we can be there questioning. Well, you know, that's the way that we get in trouble sometimes. This is the way Adam and Eve got in trouble at the beginning, because asking the wrong question when they actually knew the answer. See, that's the thing that we have to understand. It's not a question of when you know the answer, you have to stick with it instead of trying to fool around and do for other things, with other things. Because that is going to produce delays. Okay. If God says, I am the Lord that healeth you, you shouldn't be there thinking, well, does God want to heal me? Yeah. You see, that's the type of question that is really put in the wrong place at the wrong time, and is going to produce the wrong results. Because instead of producing expectation, it's going to produce uncertainty. Are you following me? So really we had to learn to see the things that we say and to assess and analyze what we say in the light of the truth, which is the Word of God. But yet that presupposes something. Presupposes that you know the Word of God to compare it with. See, you cannot judge something if you have not a comparison base or point. You know, something to check against. You have to have some standards to go by. And that's what the Word gives us. You know, that is the measuring stick for us to judge everything that we see, we say, we hear, whatever. Because that is the truth. It doesn't change. His word is settled in heaven. You know, it's not settled down here. We had to settle for ourselves. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I think that maybe we should stop for now. Did you get anything today?
Yes.
Amen. You know, that's so important. I think we should make a confession here. You know, this is against taking a position and taking a stand there. All right? Okay. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We stand on your truth and know that you are faithful. And you're going to do it according to what you said. We praise you and thank you for the blessings that are open to us, because we know we have knowledge of the truth that is in your word. And we receive from you day by day the benefits that you have provided for us. And we will not forget all your benefits. You forgive all our iniquities. You heal all our diseases. You provide for us all things that we need, so that we need nothing. We have everything that we need. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.